The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decision.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
Hey, welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. My name is John Walker, behind the mic for Steve Cordasco this week. Really excited to join you. It's been a great end of school season after what was a challenging year for students and faculty alike. But now's the celebratory time. Now's the time when we've got kids graduating, we've got graduation parties. It's an exciting time. And it's got a lot of people thinking about what comes next. Oh my gosh, now my little one is heading off to middle school. Or oh my gosh, high school starting. Or even more daunting, maybe I've got one going off to college, or my grandkids are. I can't believe it. But part of that excitement and joy also leads to anxiety and doubt of, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay for this? And so we've been fielding lots of questions this time of year around education and education financing. And we thought it'd be really important to share with you some of the strategies that we encourage people to use to take advantage of what's out there to effectively plan and save for retirement. There's a lot of jargon and numbers in our business, right? You got 401ks and 403bs and this, that, and the other, right? And one of them that you probably hear is 529s. And so we get a lot of questions about 529s and how they can be used in 529 planning. In fact, there's so much confusion out there that there's a new study that just came out by Edward Jones that says only 36% of Americans that can actually even identify that a 529 plan is for college savings. So led us to believe, man, there's probably a lot of misinformation, disinformation, and misunderstanding about some of the effective ways you can help save for future tuition expenses. And I'm thrilled to welcome to the program to join me to discuss this and clear up some of the confusion. One of my great colleagues at Cordasco Financial Network, fellow advisor and also CPA, Mr. Tim Joseph. Tim, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, John. Glad to be here.
Really great to have you. And certainly you and I speak to a lot of our own clients and field questions from friends. And we're thinking about it for our own kids, right? You and I have similar age children and are doing the best we can to get prepared for their future, maybe college, trade school, whatever it looks like for them, or whatever, high school tuition, whatever may come. And so I'm really glad we're going to together tackle this topic to see what really is the truth behind 529 plans and how effectively they can be used. 529s have changed, and I think it might be a great place to start to really help identify what exactly they do and what exactly they are.
Sure, John, there has been some changes over the last few years, but we'll get into that for sure. Let's take a step back for a second and discuss the very basics and then work on the evolution from there. So 529 plans are really known for being tax-free growth. Key term, tax-free growth savings plans for parents, typically grandparents too, and others that can invest their money into the stock markets as they so choose, with the idea that the funds will be used for the beneficiaries of the 529 plan, their qualified education expense someday. There are two ways to do that. You can invest your money within the market similar to what's more common is a 401k. You can invest your money similar to like that of a 401k and pick your funds and how conservative or aggressive you want to be. What's very popular today is the route of what they call an age-based plan. The funds will automatically become more and more conservative the closer you get to, let's say, the year of 18 years old. Similar to a target date fund that many future retirees pick in their 401k plan is what's known as a target date there. It's very similar in that regard. The key term, like I said before, is tax-free growth so that when this money invested is eventually used for qualified education, the growth that you may have over the several years of investments will be withdrawn as long as it's used for appropriate purposes as a tax-free method of gains. Let me give you a quick example. Like you said, John, we have children of similar age. One of my sons was born in 2007, an absolute ideal time to be born and to start saving for college because of the way the stock market
I'm sure you planned it that way, right?
Absolutely.
Right before the market crashed, this is the best time to have a child.
Certainly. So right now, as we sit here 14 years later, we certainly have some gains in his accounts that I'd like to be able to use tax-free eventually someday. Hopefully they'll hold up. A Roth IRA is in a similar type of conversation, not related to educational expenses, but in the form of tax-free growth. It could be a real windfall for tax savings using 529 plans. The other way to invest in 529 plans, if you're a little bit worried about markets or don't think the time frame is good for using markets, you can use a prepaid tuition strategy instead so that you pay today's prices in tuition by making contributions to a plan. So basically, your rate of return will eventually be the college inflationary rate, okay, not general inflation, but the actual tuition for the college's inflationary rate over time, depending on what college is attended. And so each college's inflationary rate of return will differ depending upon the college at hand. Not every college participates, but quite a few certainly do. It's more common for a college to participate than not.
The big key points there is it's tax-free growth, and you have to choose which of those two types of plans you really would like to invest in. Do you want to do a traditional markets-based growth engine, or do you want to choose the prepaid option where your growth is really just the difference in the cost of tuition today versus what it could be when your child, grandchild, whomever is off to attend school, right?
Certainly. Not just tax-free growth, too. There's a little more to the tax benefit or tax facts. Although contributions to the plan are not deductible at the federal level, many states, though, such as Pennsylvania, for one, do offer a state income tax deduction on the tax return to offset other income. So although in both cases, the state and the federal level, the money is tax-free growth, and withdrawals are tax-free as long as they're used for appropriate purposes. Now, it's not just educational expenses, it's also room and board, books, and computer equipment also apply to this and are also tax-free from federal and, in most cases, state income taxes.
And so one of the questions we get there, Tim, if I'm a Pennsylvania resident, do I have to invest in the Pennsylvania state 529 plan to get that tax benefit, or can I invest in any state's 529 plan? Because one of the unique things about 529 plans is that they are offered by the states, right? Each state or Commonwealth offers a 529 plan. But to be a PA resident like you and I are, do I need to invest in Pennsylvania's plan to get that tax benefit?
At the onset of these plans and the originations of them, there were certain rules such as that. But there is much more flexibility now. So no, you do not have to participate in any particular plan in order to reap the benefits of a 529 plan.
And I think that's an important thing to share, because when we first started having children, the rules were very different, right? And to take advantage of that tax break, it was more beneficial for me to invest in a Pennsylvania plan, perhaps. But each state has a different plan offering with different custodian, maybe different fund options, maybe other things. So if you're considering your options of where to invest, you might want to do a little research into what each state's plan looks like and what the benefits may be. For example, Virginia's is, I believe, with American funds, right? So you have American funds available. Pennsylvania's might be very different. It might be Fidelity, and it might be a whole different catalog of funds that are available. And so it's important to do a little bit of exploring to see which one might be best for you, because they have different offerings available to it if you go down that path. There's also 529 plans that can be managed by advisors versus the ones that you can manage yourself.
Certainly, you do have options. They're plentiful. One thing that you can use to compare and contrast a different plan or a different financial institution is the internal rates of expenses, right? The management fees that are built into the funds that you use. For example, Vanguard is known as a very low-cost provider, low-fee mutual funds versus other types of mutual funds. So that is one area we may see a difference in the expenses involved with the funds.
That's a great point, Tim. And that's very readily available. It's public information. They have to disclose it to you. So it's a really easy way to compare certain plans. Tim, one of the things that we get asked about a lot and that gives people pause when it comes to 529 plans is, am I jeopardizing my child or my grandchild's chances for getting federal aid? If I save them a ton of money, doesn't that mean that they're not going to get maybe things that are available, grants or loans or other things? And it's a really great question, but there's a lot of misinformation out there and there's a lot of misunderstanding about the real impact of what these plans do when it comes to financial aid packages. Can you help us understand that a little better?
Sure. It's an important part of the strategy, no doubt. So I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. There will be typically an impact on financial aid if you have 529 accounts. However, many experts would certainly suggest that the advantages of having a 529 plan and the advantages that come about are going to outweigh the effects that you may have on financial aid. But here's a little more detail. For 529 accounts that are owned by the dependent student or in one of his or her parents' name, typically only account for about 5.64% of the account value in terms of considering the FAFSA calculation. So 5.64% of the account is factored in. For grandparents, though, grandparents that own accounts for the benefit of a grandchild, that does not have an impact on FAFSA in terms of assets or income. However, in today's law, and that will change after 2023 or 2024, grandparents' accounts right now, when there's withdrawals made, it's considered income to the student in today's law, but that will no longer be applicable to FAFSA forms in just a couple years from now. On the grandparent front, there's some changes being made on financial aid. And there are strategies around those who have grandparent accounts right now as we speak. For example, you can wait till later on in the college years before you withdraw the grandparents' accounts so that you've already filled out FAFSA forms in the earlier years.
And Tim, more jargon there, FAFSA, for those who may be wondering what the heck that is actually, it's an acronym that means the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. And basically, it's just the form you use at the federal level to apply for financial aid for either college or graduate school, right? And we would encourage everyone to fill it out because you may be eligible for things, grants, loans, and otherwise that you may not know you're eligible for, right? And it can be a useful mechanism to help pay for college. But Tim, the reality of it is that even with a potential impact of 5.64% of a 5.5-6% reduction of the available aid, the reality is you can't let that get in the way of the fact that you need to start saving and investing on your own for this. That shouldn't outweigh that. The cold hard facts is that only 0.3% of all students receive enough grants and scholarships to cover the full cost of college. 0.3% in today's environment. So the potential impact of putting savings aside to what it may do to your aid package does not outweigh the benefit of saving now and the potential growth, no matter when you get started. The impact of that will be greater, will certainly outweigh the impact of any negative consequences to your financial aid. But that's a common myth around this, and it's one thing that people certainly worry about. And so we thought it was really critical that we address that today. Tim, you mentioned it earlier. There's some trends that we've been noticing in the 529 space. One of them, as you mentioned, was those age-based portfolios. They're really popular today. People may be familiar with something similar in their 401k plans where you have like target date funds. They operate kind of similarly. You pick the year that your student may be going to school, and then they automatically transition from a more aggressive to a more conservative portfolio. But that's not the only thing that's new in 529 plans that we're starting to notice. So can you share with our listeners some of the other things that some of the new flexibility that is available within 529 plans?
Sure. Since 2017, not too many years ago, the funds are now also allowed to be used for kindergarten through 12th grade. If there's cost involved there that a family's paying for, you can apply 529 money to that. As of 2019 and the SECURE Act, the SECURE Act made it possible to pay for apprenticeship programs and also allows 529 funds to be used to cover up to $10,000, up to $10,000 in outstanding student loan debt. So that's a key feature. It's very new. I'd like to say this, that if this trend continues where they're making it a little more flexible more and more, who knows what's next or what it can morph into next. Another example is if someone in their career, maybe young in their career, or is thinking about heading in a different direction, heading back to college or grad school or a new skill, you can use those funds for something like that as well. Maybe down the road that you have a goal in mind for future educational expenses. They're getting more and more flexible. It's been for the better, That's for sure. That was not the case when they originated decades ago.
Yeah, Tim, I think that's really critical to share. And I love the fact that they're getting much more flexible. And there's an acknowledgement that it doesn't necessarily need to be for traditional college, four-year university. The fact that there's a recognition that it could be just as valuable to be used for a trade school. It could be used for primary education. It can be used for things that are outside of just tuition. One of the fears that we hear is, what happens if they don't go to college? Am I putting all this money away or taking the time to set up this plan and they may not use it? And so as you're sharing, one of the things that we hear about in the news a lot is student loan debt, right? Some of this money after school could even be used for paying off that, which you just highlighted. So there's so much more flexibility, but I'd be remiss if we didn't include in this conversation the really major fear we hear, which is, what happens if the person I set this money aside for doesn't go to college? So what are people's options? What can you share that'll help ease that fear that all is not lost?
Sure, it's a very valid concern. And fortunately, there's flexibility here too. The account owner, the parent, the grandparent, for example, still maintains control of the assets, regardless of how old the beneficiary is. Here's the key point, John. The beneficiary of the plan can actually be changed very easily to another family member, another sibling, for example, a stepchild, a niece or nephew, perhaps, or maybe even an aunt or uncle. So there is flexibility there that should reduce the concern about the money not being portable. Worst case scenario, too, if the money was never used, the money is not lost. There will simply be taxes and additional tax charges, penalties, we can call them, that will be applied to only the appreciated money, though, only the appreciation in dollars. So that would be a worst case scenario where you get your money back.
That's really important there too, Tim. Worst case, if you're a grandparent setting up for a grandchild and you don't have anybody else you can move it to, they were your only grandchild. Worst case scenario, the money that you put in comes back out to you tax-free, right? The money you invested. The only thing you might face is a tax and penalty on the growth, which was growing tax-deferred anyway and is not dissimilar to any other investment vehicle that you would take advantage of. If you put it in a brokerage account and pulled it out, you'd pay taxes on the growth there too, right? So you kind of just lose the advantage of that tax-free growth. The important message here, right, Tim, is that it's a really valuable tool. And a lot of the things that people are worrying about that it'll jeopardize, those fears are a little unfounded and they may have been more real a decade ago, but the plans have morphed and adapted and gotten much more flexible and become much more advantageous and given the investor, the saver, a lot more flexibility for what they can do with these funds.
In summary, we talked about many key features and ins and outs of such a plan. I'd like to just say, like Steve Cordasco might say, like he says to his kids quite a bit, I know, what is the plan, right? It's not just opening an account. What is the plan for a family for how to fund a college? It's an overwhelming thing to look at statistics when you look at the cost of college and the inflationary rates of college over the years, whether you ever have enough to send the child where they want to go. So this is one vehicle that can help ease that burden, hopefully. Maybe it's even a great vehicle to use to tell your family members on birthdays and holidays when there's gifts being exchanged, instead of buying maybe the toy, what's wrong with a contribution maybe to their 529 account, right? It may be a good vehicle to use for planning a much more productive gift than something that we may not be able to be used in a short period of time. So again, what's the plan? Advisors can help in this regard. You can run modules, you can predict the costs, and we can share information on how much colleges cost today, what it looks like historically, what kind of inflationary return have 529 plan, prepaid account plan members made. There's analysis, and using the help of a financial advisor to put a plan in place, for example, maybe a monthly savings amount that can project over 18 years and be a really good head start to helping fund and easing the stress in those years by putting a good plan in place.
I think that's a great place for us to end here. Tim Joseph, thank you so much for joining me on today's program to help our listeners understand the reality of what 529 plans really do and sharing how they can be a part, as you said, of a good strategy for funding future expenses for schooling. So, Tim Joseph, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, John. It was a pleasure to be here.
So, as you're off to graduation parties this summer here and celebrating what comes next for your child, student, niece, nephew, grandchild, whomever that may be, and are thinking about maybe there's a way I can help, or maybe you're thinking about how am I going to pay for college for my future student? It's really important to understand that it needs to be thought of in the context of a broader plan. You can set up a 529 on your own, but the real thing is, as Steve always says, what's the plan? And you need the guidance. It's really invaluable to have the guidance of a partner who can help you understand all the different strategies for funding that are available to you and how this can all fit inside your broader retirement plan, your broader financial picture, right? It's just one more component of all the work that a good financial planner can help you with as you try to think through the most effective way to do this for you and your family. The best time to start is now. If you don't have a plan, if you're not sure how to make this happen, and if you're not sure what to do next, our team at Cordasco Financial Network can certainly help. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions you may have, you can reach out to us and email us at asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfnplan.com, or you can call us anytime at 855-558-3500. Thanks so much for listening to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. I'm John Walker. Have a great week.
If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com.